T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Camp takes the snap. He'll keep it. Running left side. Dives, and he's tripped up shy of the goal line. It's over.
Seattle made a good play.
It was a great play by them.
Dale Arnold.
They played the damsel in distress and said, come save me, and they gave the ball to Cam. The New England Patriots are going to be all right because Superman has returned.
Rich Key.
My heart's heavy, you know, because one of my teammates, James White, you know, from Wisconsin, had a tough one, you know, losing his dad. I'm not sure what the situation with his mom yet, but my heart's been heavy all day.
You stay classy.
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
Marcus.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know how you like to envision things before they happen? Like in your mind's eye, you see what, okay, I'm going to make this play, I'm going to do this. As they were lining up, first and goal, 3 seconds left, I saw Cam Newton run into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. I saw it! And then it didn't happen.
Would you fall asleep?
No, I was awake. I didn't get there.
You didn't dream it?
You know, the funny thing, Dale, is the Seattle Seahawks saw the same thing.
Yeah, they sniffed it out.
Yeah, what they did was they stopped it.
They chopped him down, and he lost the yard.
Sorry that the Patriots went to a formation named after Wiggy's favorite show, but power just wasn't going to get it done with 3 seconds left.
I'll tell you what, though. I've never felt this good about a loss in my life.
I heard you say that. Now, that's not... The Rich Keefe I know and love.
No, and
you
don't
feel good about losses ever.
No, you really shouldn't. And you know, the name of the game is winning. Whatever the sport is, whatever the game is, whatever the side action is, you're supposed to win. It's either your first or your last. I subscribe to that theory. But when you're taking everything into account for this Patriots team, and I have so much respect in the world for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, and
good
Pete Carroll's
Lord,
a good coach.
Can he play, huh?
Russell Wilson's the man. Jamal Adams is the man. Like they got good players on that team. But I think the takeaway was after a week in which they just ran the ball, you ask Cam Newton to throw the ball 44 times, and you're able to put up that kind of offense. I know they got the pick six in there, but still 23 points from the offense in Seattle. I know there's no fans, but it's still a road trip and all that other stuff. I'm pretty optimistic about the Patriots offense. I'm pretty happy to see what they did yesterday.
I kind of think, Dale, that the Patriots found their quarterback of the future.
Do you think?
I think
Are you on the Wiggy train now? You want to give him a lifetime contract extension today?
Oh, I would. I have maintained if he can play like this right up to the break, you don't wait.
You're not doing it today.
I go right to the bye week.
Wiggy's doing it on the flight home. So you're doing it. Week
at
eight.
The bye week.
I'm with you, too.
No, week six. That's week six.
Oh, week six. Yeah, it's a little earlier, but
They play a banged-up Denver team. I'm still feeling good about this 10-6 record, feeling good about this season. I want to invest in this team. I know we're going to talk about things that we should do or that we hope the Patriots would do, but one of the things I would do is sign Cam Newton sooner than later because the way he slang it last night.
Oh, slanging it.
They was absolutely slinging it. Everyone thinks the Pats are going to run, of course, when we were hoping they wouldn't. They did, and then here we are now with a gut punch of a loss.
I didn't have a problem with the play call on the last play. I didn't. Now, I think, and Cam Newton said this afterwards, he's exactly right. All he has to do is bust it outside, and he crawls into the end zone if he wants to.
Yeah, but you know what? He's following his fullback. He's got Onwenu, who had been blocking his ass off. What a game. That kid is a find. That's one of those later on Belichick gems.
The O-line's been
great.
Pretty good.
Shaq Mason was a little slow on the play. Unfortunately, Jakob Johnson kind of got blowed up, and Onwenu just couldn't hold his block, and Seattle sniffed out the play. And, of course, you can second-guess it because if they the argument, guys, is that if they decide to get cute, clever, or not call a power play and put it in the hands of your best player with 3 seconds left on the goal line, and Seattle, let's say, knocks down like a little play action, or like you throw to the fullback, or there's a tackle eligible play at the end, like not a Philly special, but something different or less predictable. Then we're all in here going, "Come on, McDaniels, don't show off. Just put it in." So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, Collinsworth kept saying all night long, he's unstoppable.
It seems unstoppable, and I was kind of with him. I had a bone to pick with Collinsworth. We can do a little bit later, but I
nepotism party of one. How's your son?
I thought that that. I have no problem with the play call. Now, if you do have a problem with the play call because of the results, you're going to maybe win the argument because ultimately
hindsight's always 20/20.
They didn't score. So if you have a problem with it, then you're right. It was looking so good. And I was thinking, man, you don't even need a goal line running back. I loved what they were doing where they would have Jakob Johnson. They'd have another tight end in there and they would just run it with Newton. It was so hard to stop and we saw it early on. So I'm with you. If they did anything else, if they did like a little pass and all of a sudden Jamal Adams reads it and he's draping, whatever the tight end or whoever it happens to be out there, and then Cam Newton gets tackled or he throws it, through the end zone, you're saying, well, why don't you just run the play that worked all the time? So I don't mind that. I also think it gives teams something to think about because now you can run variations off of that, and I think they will. I'm sure Josh McDaniels has. We're going to line up in the exact same thing. It's going to look like a Cam run, and then it might be one of those jump passes that you see all the SEC quarterbacks do, or even like some reverse action. Like something you can do variations off of it. So obviously the result is not what you wanted, but I was 100% fine with the play call.
Yeah, Jakob Johnson on that the fullback pass earlier, that play action when they were kind of going right into that same thing.
Was it 4AA on Twitter last night who said maybe if they'd have saved that one?
Yeah, I know, but it worked when it did, and you needed points because you found yourself in a shootout last night.
Yeah.
Which
I thought they had no chance of winning. A shootout in Seattle against Russell Wilson, I would have said they got no chance of winning that.
So are you ready for my hot take? I was going to save it for high noon, but it's something to sort of kick around here.
Let's go.
I believe it's high noon somewhere, so we can
close to high noon.
High noon.
High noon.
It's high noon o'clock somewhere.
Cue the high noon music.
Give me my high noon music.
Believe it or not, and this goes against everything we've been saying for a solid month and a half, the Patriots need more help on defense than they do on offense. I feel better about the offense, and okay, with the caveat that it is Russell Wilson on the other side, but still, five passing touchdowns and the one pick that you had on
five different receivers.
One pick that you had on him was his own receiver's fault. Greg Olsen just batted it up in the air. So great play by McCourty, and you'll take the points and here we go. But that was all on him. This team's linebacking core may be worse than the receiving core. Never thought in a million years I would say that. Now, obviously,
I don't know if I'd go that far. But
okay.
I actually
really
might.
Dale?
Yeah.
The way Damir Bird is fitting in, the way Julian Edelman had maybe my favorite stat of the whole night. Julian Edelman had more receiving yards in Cam Newton's second game than in any game ever with Tom Brady. That is astonishing.
Julian Edelman, deep threat.
And N'Keal Harry, not that I think he is this great weapon just yet, but you can see Cam Newton putting faith in him. You can
see him throwing to him, giving him the confidence.
He's 100% working with him. So I'm not saying ignore the wide receiver position or the tight end position, but suddenly, sort of lost in all of this, is the linebacking core. And some of the tight ends, some of the running backs, I think are going to have big games in the passing game against the Patriots defense, unless they shore that up. Unless Josh Uche comes out of nowhere. He was another scratch again this week, or this time he was injured.
This time he was hurt.
Didn't play two games in a row. They need more help there, and everybody's so focused on Odell Beckham or Allen Robinson, and that's great, and I love those guys too. But the defense, they need to acquire some help defensively.
I don't disagree that they need help defensively. In fact, you're exactly right there. But I am very worried about this receiving core, and I put one of those quickie Twitter polls up this morning. How many games will Julian Edelman last this season? Because, I mean, how many times did we see him get up, and he looked like he wasn't going to get up? And I mean... God love him. He's got guts for days. He will go where people probably shouldn't go, and he'll take the shots, and he'll somehow find a way to get back on the field for the next snap. But I just worry this guy's just not going to last.
Yeah. How many times does he have to play Seattle and get hit, and all of us at home say, I'm pretty sure the lights turned out for a second there because he got clobbered over the head last night.
Oh, yeah, the eyes shut for a little bit there.
And it was more than just an Edelman squint.
It is one of those things, though, where, and when Belichick's asked about guys, usually it's reserved for the preseason, but when he's asked about guys maybe getting hurt or whatever, he says, well, if you tell me what play they're going to get hurt, I'll make sure they're out for that play. Like, you have to play those guys, and I think with a lot of teams, if your guy gets hurt, you're just kind of screwed. But it's football, and you got to hope for the best. Like, you look at the 49ers yesterday, they're all dropping like flies. Mm-hmm. But with the Patriots, if Cam Newton, Julian Edelman, or Stephon Gilmore get hurt, then forget it. All the stuff we're talking about, all right. this, hey, potential run that they have, forget it. It's over. Just like for 20 years, if Tom Brady got hurt, you're done.
Right.
Like, that's just how it is. So Edelman's going to play through injuries, as he always does. They do need another option, but after a game in which they threw for almost 400 yards, remember, and even the jokes last week were like, hey, Matt Ryan threw for 450, and they're like, well, the Patriots can't. Pretty damn close. Pretty damn close.
Right.
And so to me, again, you're going to face only one other quarterback this year that's in Russell Wilson's league. That'd be mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes in a few weeks.
Right.
But I just think that this defense needs a little bit more help. I think the opt-outs and just maybe, you know, the guys that left in free agency, more of a hole there than we would have imagined.
Well, the secondary, they didn't exactly have their that, we're not going to put that game atop the secondary's LinkedIn page. Like, they're not, like,
no,
Gilmore played fine, obviously getting burned deep by Metcalf. I still thought that they were going to match up J.C. Jackson
Metcalf, who was drafted a solid round after Nikhil Harry.
However, though, I would like to, secondary will have better days. Okay. The linebacking core is definitely hurting. I will say this in Nikhil Harry's defense. A, got right back up after he took a shot last night, he got popped.
How did he hold on to that?
How does he hold that ball?
Cam's coaching up some tough in him. He's
that
showing faith in him.
What a
that
grab.
Was great. I still think he goes down way too quick for a guy
by the
his
way,
size.
He's got to learn to use his...
He
didn't have to be evaluated after that hit?
No, I guess not.
He said he was fine.
Nice.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's the new thing. Yeah, just, you know, socially distancing. How you doing? Fine.
Concussion test, yeah. Where are you? Here. Perfect.
What's your name? Tuesday. Great. Get back in there, kid. But I just want everyone to remember this was Nikhil Harry's 10th game as a pro. So last year, A.J. Brown ascended and took over in the second half of the season, and that's where he got the bulk of his yards when he started connecting with the Tannisons. DK Metcalf really started blowing up in the second half of his season. So maybe now we're starting to see Nikhil Harry get his pro legs under him.
He led the team in targets yesterday. He had 12 targets, 8 catches, 72 yards. The one thing I'm a little surprised by is 9 yards a catch. I thought for a guy like Nikhil Harry, it would be a little bit more of a playmaker type thing, 15, a little bit further than that. I mean, Julian Edelman is usually the guy that's like that, but he had a couple of bombs, including that 49-yarder.
He doesn't run those routes usually.
No, and so that's a little bit of a change as well that I think, you know,
it's also
McDaniel's
great play
like,
calling.
Let's do it. It is. Yeah, right. I don't think you're expecting it. And some great catches by Edelman, perfect throws by Newton.
Oh, and if Dale, like, it just if with 10 seconds left, we were saying this before the show, and it's just one of those, like, of the many moments in that game last night where you're just like, oh, almost coulda, woulda. If Cam just took 2 to 3% velocity off that laser that he threw that just went over or sort of through Edelman's hands at the goal line there. I mean, oof. But that throw that he made, though, to Edelman when Edelman had Jamal Adams isolated on that go route down the middle of the field.
Great.
Newton is throwing off his back foot, Dale, and doesn't even put all of it into it, flicks it, and
55
yards through the air, and it landed in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they were abusing Jamal Adams in coverage. Like, he was a menace at the line of scrimmage.
He was abusing them at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he was coming up, and he was tough. But, yeah, he wasn't covering. Like, he was on the wrong end of it. He looked like he fit in with the Patriots secondary. Like, they were close. No, I mean, I'm not, like some of those plays, like, Jason McCourty had pretty good coverage. Good coverage. Stephon Gilmore had pretty good coverage. But it was just a better throw and a better catch.
I mean, Jason McCourty could not have had better coverage
right
on that
there.
David Moore touchdown.
What do you want?
He couldn't have had anything better. No. Russell Wilson just threw the perfect ball.
And that ball
David
to
Moore. David Moore and Freddie Swain are catching touchdowns. Like, what is
five
this?
Five different guys caught touchdowns.
Now, is that a product of Russell Wilson's excellence?
I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay. All right.
Yes, we're not going any further.
It's Russell Wilson.
So we're not even going to worry about getting pressure. Maybe this is, again,
why you talk about the linebacker.
I mean, Chase Winovich is on the way to becoming something. Like last night, Carlos Hyde.
Oh, Carlos Hyde might want to hang it up. I don't think it'd be outrageous for Carlos Hyde to retire after that play.
Today.
Yeah, be like, you know what? I'm done. Yeah. I realize football's not for me anymore. I just got abused.
I literally left my feet. I got hit so hard by Chase Winovich, I went airborne. I weighed 220 pounds.
You went up against gravity because of the hit from Chase. That was insane.
That was massive. But some of the linebacker ends, they're growing up. They're making progress. The linebackers, the lateral coverage, and the pressure they're getting is kind of non-existent at this point. And maybe they're asking Juwan Bentley to do too much.
Yeah. But even, like, the thing with Wilson and what makes him so good, too, is even if you do get a little pressure on him, he can just avoid it. and still make the throw, scoot a little bit, and then he knows when to, although he had the one where he threw the ball over the line of scrimmage, but for the most part, he knows when to, oh, I'll pick up 10-yard slide,
yep.
pick up 10-yard slide, and then get back in, and like, he's just so hard to defend.
He has to be so frustrating for a defensive player.
When we get a chance to talk to Lawrence Guy tomorrow,
I'm sure we'll talk to him about that. I mean, you think you have him, and then as you said, he slides at the exact right time. He takes off at the exact right time.
He does not take a lot of big
the
hits.
Ball.
No.
He's going to play a long time. He said he wants to play until he's in his 40s, and the style that he plays, he can do it. You know, the thing about it, he picks and chooses his runs. He ended up with 5 carries in the game. I can't think of a huge hit that he took, right? I mean, I think for the most part, he stays up.
He got hit a couple of times as he let the ball go. You know, took
pretty good
shots.
They got him like right after he released it. But nothing crazy.
No,
nothing
and Cam never got really popped either last night. Now, you would say Cam Newton is more of a running quarterback than Russell Wilson is. But Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes both do this thing where you can't call them running quarterbacks, but you sort of can because they run when it's necessary. They don't get their number or their name called for a lot of deliberate run plays. But yesterday, Mahomes did that a couple of times to keep drives alive. They extend drives. 100%. Not only do they just like give themselves more time to find the right read, but between that and the fact that he's able to just effortlessly, going against his body, throw the ball 50 yards and drop it in the bucket over the best cornerback in football, or land over excellent coverage here, there, and everywhere against the Pats secondary. I mean, he is borderline indefensible at this point.
Well, one of the things Belichick said last week was he might be the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. And we saw about 3 examples of it last night.
Well, all the stats back that up, too.
He couldn't have thrown it any better.
No, it's perfect. And again, I think Metcalf and Lockett are good. Everybody else is just a guy. Like, they just guys that wouldn't even make necessarily every team, you know? And I think
David
Wilson,
Moore.
What are we doing? So he makes those guys. Like, he 100% makes those guys. You can give him whoever. And even Metcalf was a 2nd-round pick. Lockett, I think, was a 3rd-round pick. His running back was like a 6th-round pick. He himself was a 3rd-round pick. Like, it's not like they're flooded and they gave this guy all these high-priced weapons, right? Everybody's always talking about weapons. Like, Russell Wilson makes guys. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Not only is he a great player, and I know this isn't as important to some people, but he also seems to be like the perfect human being at times. He's coming off the field. They just had a big win over the New England Patriots. And when he gets questioned on the field, this is the first thing he wants to say.
First of all, Michelle, my heart's heavy, because one of my teammates, James White, from Wisconsin, one of the nicest guys, teammates, one of the hardest workers, one of the best people I know, had a tough one, losing his dad. I'm not sure what the situation with his mom yet, but my heart's been heavy all day thinking about him. And, obviously the game was the game. This year's been a tough year just as a whole, and a lot of people that we know and people just going through so much. But, James, I'm praying for you, man, if you can hear me.
I mean, he's like the perfect person in addition to everything else. And I don't know how, because it was obvious post-game when the Patriots were talking, how much it affected them yesterday as well. And I know, like Matthew Slater said, I was thinking about it all day. You saw Devin McCourty after the pick 6, and he goes to the camera and puts up the 2 and the 8. Those guys had to be thinking about their teammate, very well-respected, well-loved within the locker room. They had to be thinking about him all day long out there.
Oh, 100%. And, he's a guy who's been on the team, his entire career was at 7 years, I want to say, for James White. Captain, very well liked. You've never heard a bad thing about James White, right? All his college teammates like Russell Wilson and J.J. Watt and some of those guys. Tom Brady obviously spoke to it on Twitter as well. Again, I always say we don't really know these guys. Like, we don't really know. I mean, we talk to James White every week, but it just seems like he is such a genuine, nice guy.
Sweetheart.
He's a sweet guy. And that obviously speaks to his upbringing, and it speaks to his parents. And when you saw that, because I first saw that he was inactive, and we all kind of scratched our heads.
Everyone who hadn't heard obviously did the same thing. Like Mike Reese tweeted, like, James White, a surprise.
And then you just one quick search, and one of the news guys had it, and you're like, oh, my God. It just... You don't know what to say, and I can't imagine what was going through his head and his teammates' head and everything else. Just awful, awful news.
Reports were that Robert Kraft offered to send his private plane. Robert Kraft was not at the game First game he's missed since he owned the team. He offered to send his private plane to Seattle to pick up James and take him to Miami, where his mom, at last report, was still in intensive care. But James elected to stay, fly home with the team. They got to the stadium at about 8 this morning. And, you know, my assumption is he would then head to Miami right after that. But he was not at the stadium. I guess he went back to the hotel. And I don't even – how do you put one foot in front of the other?
I wouldn't know what to do. And think about the logistics. Like you said, Dale, here's a guy who's from Florida. So his parents are in Florida. He plays for New England, and they happen to be in Seattle. Like, you couldn't be further away.
Couldn't be in a worse place physically and emotionally, too. And like you said, speaking to his upbringing, his father was a retired Miami-Dade County police captain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he comes from good stock, great family. Now you understand why he's a community pillar. Like, obviously, he gives his time to his charity. He took over the bowling thing that Donta Hightower used to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a great guy. You'll never find anyone that has a bad word to say about him. And we've all been someplace, Dale, when we've been hit with bad news out of the blue and you think about how you reacted to it and how that shook you and the people around you. Obviously, the Patriots were able to play through it and play amazingly.
And rally around him.
And before you even thought about that, you thought, like, Belichick's coaching with a bit of a heavy heart because he lost his mother, though she lived a long and fruitful life. And they've got that on their minds. And then this hits them a couple hours before the game. That they stayed in this game all the way down to the final play, that the game was in the balance to the very last second. And they did that on the road and without arguably their second or third best offensive player, fortifies all belief that we should have that this team is more talented than a lot of people gave them credit for or predicted that they're worth investing in. And they are a hell of a fun watch just two games into this, one of the wildest and most unusual seasons we will ever watch.
Ian O'Connor, senior writer for ESPN, wrote a remarkable piece about the White family. And the gist of his piece was that basically James White was part of the Patriots way before he ever became a member of the Patriots. Ian O'Connor will join us an hour from now and talk about James and his dad and his mom. We'll get some insight into the family dynamic with him a little bit later on. But we'll get right to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Text line is 37937. What happened comes up at 12:30 today. Lots there to kick around. And by the way, I don't know if you've been able to move back into the house yet, Fitzy, but based on the weekend, you're at least back in the garage, I think.
That's right.
We'll recap that.
Okay.
Well, it was a better week this week. Let's just say that. We'll get to all of that as well. But we'll get to the calls with you talking about the game last night and whether you're a little more heartened about the prospects for the Patriots. I don't know how you couldn't be. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Just what was running through the coach's mind as they make the decision there?
About what you would think it would be. We had one play to score, and we tried to go with what we thought was our best play. What else is there to think about?
Where do you stand as far as, you know, to just be able to execute well enough from the 1 yard line to punch in there, regardless of pretty much whatever you do?
Yes.
So you think just the execution was lacking down there?
No, I said at the beginning that I thought the Seattle made a good play. I think I said that at the beginning of this.
Always easy when the play fails to, you know, question the play calling, and that's easy to do. It didn't work.
I don't think Bill thought it was as good of a loss as we all
I don't think he thinks there's such a thing.
He was a little salty after the game.
How about the 22nd one, Dale?
Go ahead and do that one first, because there was another question that I thought was particularly idiotic.
Was there a fellow to take a timeout after the long play to Julian there at the end?
Seattle took a timeout. I mean, what are you talking about?
I think clock ran down from 36 seconds to 13 after the 18-yard completion to Edelman.
Yeah, well.
it's getting uncomfortable.
Ow.
Stacy?
Doug Kyd pronounced dead, 11:45.
Now, give Doug Kyd credit. He did say, no, clock ran from 36 seconds down to 13. I mean, he came prepared.
Yeah, no, he's right. He did. I would have, if he said that back to me, I just would have been like, I don't know. He's like, oh my God, they did? Sorry.
Well, it's a valid question. It is a valid question.
So I like that they didn't because they still got to play. I had no problem with that whole sequence because they still got to play off. You had the timeout in your bag, so obviously the time winds down to 13 seconds, but you can, and as it turned out, what happened, throw it not in the end zone, mm-hmm. and the game's not over. Whereas if you call that timeout, now you really can't throw it not in the end zone or by the sideline, or it's like a jailbreak, because then it's like, all right, you got to down it. Now, you know, if the guy lays on top of the ball, and then that last play is going to be garbage because you don't have any timeout. So I thought they actually handled that well. I don't have a lot of beefs with how the game ended other than they just weren't able to punch it in.
Yeah, it would have been nice if it had ended, you know, if they'd gotten the 2 yards, but I didn't
pretty
have a problem.
Good play, though, right? Like, I think, and I know, again, you can have issues with it, and you got the benefit of it not working to go in your favor, but if you're talking about a drive, and you see they have the ball, and they are down by five, and the way that they were driving, if I told you that they are going to have, with 2 seconds to go, a play from the 1 or 2 yard line, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not a Hail Mary situation, not even on a 30-yard line where you have to get into the end zone. Like, that's as good as you can ask for. They just didn't execute it. And as Bill said, Seattle sniffed it out.
Yeah.
Seattle made the adjustments because that same play earlier in the game did not come close to stopping them.
No. As a matter of fact, all you would probably want is the best goal line back in the NFL over the past decade with the ball in his hands with 2 seconds left. At the two yard line, I watched somebody put together a breakdown of all the different plays that they ran there, and they ran a similar play before. Then they ran up the gut earlier. Then they did the fake and they threw it to Jakob Johnson. So Seattle had a chance to see variations of that play or where they could have gone with it at the end. The only thing that could have happened otherwise, if Seattle was going to beat him to the ball, is for Cam to not be so resolute and wanting to power through there, and like he said, maybe kick it outside.
Yeah,
but then it becomes a race.
It's much easier said than done
because it's the heat of the moment, and then it's a race to the pylon because somebody would have followed him out that way. So it's, look, I mean, I hate playing the when a loss is a win game because
normally
a loss is still a loss.
You lost the game.
However, if there were to be a road loss, all the different emotional and on-field considerations taken therein, you've got a lot to build on in that game. There's a lot. Like, I don't think there's been a better loss that's a win. And again, I still
hate it.
20 years.
Another gripe I would have, though, about the offense, even though I thought it was a good day for the offense overall, I think Cam Newton proved a lot. I think even Damir Bird and N'Keal Harry, to a certain degree, proved that they can come up with catches.
He can take a hit.
The running backs are useless. Now, James White didn't play in the game
okay.
for obvious reasons.
Obviously,
and you'll get him back.
Everything,
and he helps a lot in the pass game. So you can rely on James White getting 5-6 grabs a game. So mm-hmm. that helps you.
Absolutely.
But still, in the actual run game, Sony Michel, useless.
Yes.
J.J. Taylor, they only gave him one crack. For whatever reason, he wasn't in the game plan. He was a terrible kick returner. I would have liked to see him get a couple more carries.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rex Burkhead couldn't get anything going. He at least caught passes and can help you. But
and
Sony
he's
Michel,
also obviously playing just because he's a better blocker in the backfield to protect Cam Newton than J.J. Taylor is.
Right. Yeah. But Sony
I mean,
Michel,
that's why he was in there.
Sony Michel, especially now that you have Cam Newton,
okay, he stinks.
Is useless.
Yes.
So last year, it didn't work.
Did you see where he got all mad at his offensive lineman on that one play?
Well,
he got up steaming it.
They should be mad at him. They should be mad at him because he can't create anything. And it's good that Cam Newton's your best goal line back, but then it's also like, all right, well, if you can't even be a threat to catch passes, why are we even handing you the ball? The only reason you hand Sony Michel the ball is to, like, bleed 20 seconds off the clock.
Right.
Because you're not going anywhere.
I would like to actually posit this, that, you know, while we make the comparison of N'Keal Harry to A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and how he's certainly not nearly as good.
Who was Sony drafted in front of?
I gotta say, I still think N'Keal Harry can eventually make his way into being a quality wide receiver. Maybe he'll never be as good as A.J. Brown or D.K. Metcalf, but he can be a quality one. But after I watched Nick Chubb, it was against the Bengals. Fine. Okay, sure.
But whatever.
But yeah,
we saw
whatever.
Him last season,
the way
too.
The way he runs, the way he attacks the offensive line.
Are you
line,
telling me you'd rather have Nick Chubb and DK Metcalf than Sony Michel and N'Keal Harry?
No.
No. Hold on.
Hold on. I'm fine with N'Keal Harry. This Sony Michel experiment, I'm done.
Would you like a great Nick Chubb Sony Michel stat?
Shime, of course I would. Whoa. Let's go to the stat desk with our own Chris Shime.
So PFF, who we all know Andy Hart hates, has their elusiveness rankings.
Oh, which, Sony Michel, dead last.
Incorrect.
Oh, he's not.
Nick Chubb, first on the list.
Oh, okay.
Sony Michel, 26th out of 27 quality running backs.
Seems high. Seems high. Who's the idiot stuck in quicksand at 27?
David Johnson.
Oh, David.
Okay.
Bill O'Brien strikes again.
You know what? Right now, I call him up.
Elusiveness.
Hey, Will Fuller for Sony Michel. Let's go.
They did a one of these like NFL memes thing. They did the worst running back. Like, you know how sometimes they do, hey, best quarterback, and it's like Tom Brady's head and like Patrick Mahomes' arm, and they do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They did worst running back, so it was like David Johnson's like contract. Sony Michel's elusiveness. That was the one that they used. Sony Michel's elusiveness.
Damian like, Harris can't get to the field.
The pro Sony Michel
enough.
People, which are dwindling by the day, still hang their hat on, oh, he had a really good postseason
he
2 years ago.
He did.
But every NFL running back would have. That was the perfect storm. They had a great O-line. Uh-huh. They had a great fullback. And go back and look at the team, the run defenses on those teams that he had big games against. I'm not saying that Sony Michel didn't play well in those games, because he did, but if you just took a generic NFL back, he would have had the same performance.
Chargers played all zone, and like they loaded the back
and
end
all,
of the
like,
defense.
Right, yeah, they're
played
all D-backs.
All D-backs, so they flooded it with D-backs. Chiefs, obviously, no great shakes
couldn't
in the,
stop
in the
a
run
nosebleed.
Game. No. And if you're running behind James Prime Devlin,
Pro Bowl Devlin,
and Trent Brown looking for a contract who could
Trent
block
Brown.
Two things, humans and the sun, Shime would have gone for 110 yards and
Shime
two touchdowns.
Yeah. 3.7 yards of carry for Shime, is my guess.
Stiff.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ken is in East Bridgewater. Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Quick one. Care. My prop, James White, I met him once. Class act.
Yeah, he is.
The other thing is, Brady's not done, obviously. You had six passes that were dropped in the game. Two of them were touchdown passes. And I would feel the frustration he has. But what I was going to say was, when it was at like the 20-something yard line, and they could have spiked it, forget the timeout, they could have spiked it because one of the color commentators said something. And when they were at the two, when they were looking at that last play, which would have been, they made it a running play where everybody was at the line, it was obvious. I would have done a three wide receiver set with a running back. It gave him three options, pass, run with a runner, or one with Newton. The other way they did it, they only had one option.
Yeah, I understand, Ken, and it didn't go their way, but that one option looked pretty good earlier in the game.
I didn't have a
I'm
problem.
Okay with that one option.
All he had to do was literally break it outside,
yeah.
And he walks into the end zone.
Why not
and he
also,
even said that.
Okay, yeah, he did, Dale, but also, like, Cam's best runs so far, yeah, there was the one outside to the pylon last week against Miami was impressive, but the ones where he goes up the gut or goes just behind his guard, follows a guard into the end zone or goes just between the guard and the tackle, where he can at least stagger step and gives you that one half second. If he makes Seattle stop for one half second and think, oh, is he going to do play action? Is he going to actually pitch it? Is he going to run? Is it going to be a jump throw? This, from the get-go, was I'm going is student body left. It's follow Cam into the end zone. Mm-hmm. So that way Seattle was able to roll all of their attack on that play to the point of attack or the point of emphasis, and they got there first, and some of the Pats lost their block. I just would have, even if they still were insistent on using the best goal line back to try to score in that final play.
Have a pass option.
Just something, yeah. just to give them one half second to think about it, because Seattle committed, Cam went with it, and, you know, here we are, five-point loss later, and we're just saying it was one of the most encouraging losses.
And
I also
wonder, now they may have run the exact same play, but a guy like James White, who we've seen going back to the Falcons Super Bowl and, and other games late, he's sort of taken on that Kevin Falk role where you can run some different things with him there as well. Where even if you're just faking it to him, you know, that takes a lot of attention from the defense. I don't know. Again, they might have run the exact same thing had he played, but another wrinkle of that, you know, going forward they'll have.
We'll talk to Ian O'Connor, senior writer for ESPN, about a piece that he wrote about James White and his family in, I believe, 2019 or 2018.
Yes. Yeah, it was 19.
19. That's coming up at 11:30. What happened around the NFL comes up at 12:30. Fitzy is back in the garage. He's not in the house yet, but we're working on it. That's at 1:30. Right back to your calls next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
No, I just didn't make everybody right. And that's the only thing I regret.
In that type of situation, you know, it's humbling to be able to, you know, have the respect of a team, to have the ball in my hands. I just got to deliver. You know, I saw a clip of it. I could have made it right by just bouncing it. I was just trying to be patient, just thinking too much, man. You know, normally, or even just diving over the top. I there's so many different things that flashed over me, and playing a fast defense like that, as soon as you guess, you're wrong.
Cam, post-game last night, or the wee hours of this morning, I guess, by the time he got to speak. And as we said, the Patriots arrived at Gillette somewhere around 8 a.m. this morning. So needless to say, Patriots Monday will happen on a Tuesday. We are expecting that we'll hear from Lawrence Guy. We obviously will not hear from James White, as we would normally on a Patriots Monday. And everybody's thinking about he and his family and his mom, especially at this point. And you just got the sense that Cam just, he wanted so desperately for them to pull this thing off for a whole bunch of reasons, not the least of which, selfish reasons. He wants to win. You know, he wants to be the quarterback of the winning team. But he knew how much they had put into it. And even Belichick postgame sounded, not happy because they lost, but he said he was proud of the effort. He knew who they were playing and what they were going up against. They played almost as well as they could have, didn't they?
I really do. I think that they did, and you're right. They almost found a way to pull it off and to be there within 2 seconds. I mean, I don't think anybody thought the Patriots would have a shot from the 2 yard line or the 1 yard line with 2 seconds to go to win the game in Seattle. I don't think anybody thought that.
No, they got the ball back with less than 2 minutes, and they drive the field. They zipped it down. That offense looked at times last night. Both offenses looked unstoppable.
Well, one of my other big takeaways too was, I think going into the season, not that it's the most productive exercise, but a lot of people kind of go through like, hey, where are the wins? Where are the losses? Whether you were a, they're not going to be very good, or hey, they're going to be great, you probably had them 1-1.
They've done exactly what we thought they'd do in these first
games. Probably 1-1. So I don't think anybody, but if you're really, forget the record and you're actually watching what took place on the field, the 9-10-11 win people have to feel better than the 5-6-7 win people. Even though it's the same record, you're still 1-1. Mm-hmm. But playing the way that they did against Seattle, particularly on offense, I feel like some of those other games, like those more toss-up games later in the year, I feel a whole lot better about the Pats, say against next week against the Raiders or the Broncos,
right,
or both LA teams. Like, those were all kind of like who knows games. And they still, not saying they definitely win all of them, but I feel a whole lot better because you have the best coach going into every game. And you also have an offensive coordinator who is loving the new quarterback, and he's playing so well. He's healthy. So that just makes me feel like 10 wins still very much, very much on the board.
Yeah. I would also like to point out that if we have them, I had them at 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
Show me a game on the rest of the schedule against a more difficult team. It only can
Kansas
either
City.
Be Baltimore
Kansas
or
City.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
And I'll tell you what, if the secondary plays a half measure better, and I think they match up better against Kansas City.
But if they can't find a way to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, he's going to light them up just like Russell Wilson.
But for 5 touchdowns, Dale, you saw the best. I think people are sleeping on Seattle, or at least Seattle's offense on top of it.
Oh, they're very good. No, Seattle's very good.
That's look at what Russell Wilson has done the first 2 weeks. 9 touchdowns, Mrs. Bueller.
Yeah.
9 touchdowns.
And the one
way,
pick's
he's
not
had
his fault.
11 incompletions.
Just
right.
Out
and
playing,
9 touchdowns.
Out of his mind. Like you
and
said,
one of those Rich. One of those incompletions, which was also the one pick, hit his receiver in both hands.
Both.
Oh,
hands.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. Like, too bad. Like,
not,
you know, but no,
both hands.
No.
But you have to think. You have to start thinking now. Some of those losses you chalked up to, like, it's just going to happen, or like, no way they keep up with San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo has a
knows?
High ankle sprain. Their receivers are hurt. Bosa's out for the year. Like, this team is worth following. This team is worth investing in. And I think whether it's a linebacker, like you said, I want a tight end. They sure as hell could use a kicker.
The kicker is a concern. I feel like what you're doing with the kicker now is, if it's a 40-yarder or in, let him kick it. He's going to make all his extra points. He's going to do that. Any kind of deep field goal, you probably need to go for it, especially if it's, you know, 4th and 3.
Yeah.
You got Cam Newton. You're probably better off going for it anyway. He's not going to make the field goal.
I think Grant and Canton wants to talk about that very topic. Hey, Grant, how you doing?
Hello,
hey,
Grant.
How we doing, fellas?
Hey, good.
Good. How are
What's
you?
Up,
hey,
Grant?
How we doing? This is Grant and Clinton.
Oh, hey, Grant.
Yeah, after watching last night's game, I mean, obviously the defense needs some tweaking, but that kick by I think Falk needs to go. Honestly, it's unacceptable at this point. I mean, that really could have helped his win last night if he had a good game. But you know, I think we need to start searching for a new guy. After yesterday.
Yeah, I think you might
be.
You right.
got one on the practice squad.
How about this? Yeah, that guy stinks.
He's a head case.
You had Younghoe Koo on the practice squad last year. He's
not.
Now in Atlanta, kicking the snot out of the ball. Mm-hmm. You didn't draft Rodrigo Blankenship. Nobody drafted him. You could have taken him in the 7th round. Mm-hmm. He was a great kicker from Georgia, where you draft all your players from anyway.
Sure.
In the SEC, you see him all the time. He was like a no-brainer. I was like, why don't you take this guy? Not just because of the rec specs, because he could also kick the crap out of it. He goes undrafted, and now he's a starter.
Yes,
now
he is.
He's kicking it for the Colts.
And he's going to kick it for 15 years in the Dome. The fact that Belichick fell in love with this kid for God knows
driving
what reason.
Nuts. Driving me nuts.
And spent a fifth round pick.
A fifth round pick. Who's not even on the team.
A fifth round. Bring back the YouTube kicker from last season.
Oh, that guy, the trick shot guy?
I'd take him over Folk at this point.
Hell, I'd let Jake Bailey give it a try in practice.
What can't he do? And by the way, Jake Bailey takes a three-step.
The kickoffs screw me up because he doesn't move his feet.
I was just going to say, Dale, he doesn't, like, I watched last night, Seattle's kicker needed an 11-yard windup to get the ball into the end zone. Jake Bailey takes three steps and blasts the ball into the end zone. How is he not as good as Nick Folk as a place kicker at this point? Let the kid do what. Let him try. I'm sure they have, obviously, at practice. But he's got to be better.
4 for 4 on field goals.
Don't.
And 3 for 3 in extra points.
Don't.
7 of 7
don't.
Kicking the ball, including a 42-yarder.
On your practice squad last year.
On your practice squad.
You had him.
You had him. And you're like, you know what we need is Nick Folk. Actually, you know what we need? To draft one in the 5th round and then cut him.
Yes. And
what?
Then make him play in the practice squad. You know what we also need is a new player with some scurrilous social media and political ties.
He doesn't have any kind of like racist tattoos, does he?
No.
Oh, yeah, he does.
No,
draft him. Take him.
Get
and
him.
Then we can talk about that for a week.
Get that son of a bitch on this team.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Ian O'Connor from ESPN will talk to us about James White and his family at the bottom of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.